Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. Today is our Inner Peace Call of the Month, and we are going to be focusing in on the key to owning your power. And I can't even think of a better time for us to be having this conversation with all the demands of everyday life, with what's going on with the economy and some of the devastation that's going on even in Japan. It's very, very easy for us to get caught up in being a victim to so many external circumstances. And we want to really drive the point home in our call today about what it really takes to own our power, really, no matter what. And I think you'll see by the end of the call just how many options that we do have, and not saying it's going to be all easy breezy, but in the process there, it's certainly going to be way more fulfilling, way more rewarding, and a whole lot of other benefits are going to come along with that. So we're going to talk today about what it means to really take responsibility for your power and why you're never really a helpless victim. We're going to look at 8 areas that you're responsible for, even if you don't realize it yet. We're going to talk about why it's easy to resist our power and explore some of the hidden payoffs and benefits that keep us stuck, keep us procrastinating, keep us comfortably uncomfortable. We'll explore that. We will explore simple strategies for taking responsibility and owning our power more fully. And I also had a note in the email about this call about transforming your biggest debilitating pattern. So I hope people have given some thought about a pattern that you're running in your life. Maybe it's where you have a certain reaction to a significant other. Maybe it's how you treat yourself. Maybe it's related to organization or procrastination. Really could be anything that falls in that disempowering category. And we're going to break it down, make it super, super easy to recreate a pattern that is way more powerful and will give you the kind of results that you want. So, very excited about what we're talking about today. And let's dive into this question. What does it mean to be connected to your power? It's sort of a abstract concept. And so let's break it down a little bit. And if we think of power as a source of fuel, you know, gas, nuclear, electricity, wind, all of these different forms of power create a certain kind of energy. And when that energy flows, we have lights that can turn on, we have cars that run and can go 100 miles per hour on the freeway, we have cell phone technology, we've got all the luxuries of hot water and refrigeration and the many luxuries of the world. Power is a really good thing. Energy is a really good thing. And if we take the same concept of energy flowing and take it to ourselves, if we think of when we are most connected to our power, it's almost as though we have a metaphorical plug that is plugged into a wall socket, getting access to electricity. The only thing is human beings, we don't have a cord like that. But if we think metaphorically, we can have a sense when we are plugged into our power, right? We make clearer decisions. We more often rest in the present moment. We are tapped into our sense of intuition more clearly. We can connect more deeply with the people we love. We make rational decisions. So lots of goodness happens when we are connected to our power. So let's just talk a little bit here about what it means to take responsibility for your power. When we take responsibility for your power, really what this means is you are in charge of this connection. So this invisible connection that not the same, not as obvious as seeing a vacuum cleaner, for example, plugged into the wall, you know, or your toaster or your refrigerator, right? Not like that, or not like having a light bulb that's working and, you know, and turned on. It's not as visceral as that, but I think everyone here has a sense of what it's like to really, you know, be connected. So we want to really look at that we really can take charge for that connection. As we continue with this conversation, we're exploring being connected to our power, and as we're talking about that, we sort of have to include that there's times when we're not connected to our power, right? And I will say, just to sum it up in one big term, when we're not connected to our power, we're in a sort of victim energy. You know, just as the vacuum cleaner lies helpless on the carpet without its source of power, we too, when we're not connected in to our source of power, yeah, we are rather helpless. Other things show up in our lives. We react more. We have a more challenging time making decisions or taking actions towards the things that are most important to us or stepping outside of our comfort zone. Right? So as we're in this conversation, I want to offer a little caveat, and that is that the challenge is to not beat yourself up, which is one of the ways that we actually take away our power, is, you know, we do it to ourselves. It's literally, you know, if we could imagine a vacuum cleaner that could take its little cord and whack itself and, you know, pull it out of the plug, you know, metaphorically. That's a very silly image, actually, in my mind. But that's kind of what we do to ourselves when we step into judgment, when we don't give ourselves the kind of sleep or nutrition that we know our body craves, when we deprive ourselves from pursuing our heart's desire. And the biggest of this is the place around judgment. So as we're looking a little bit more closely at this source of power and how we connect and how we don't connect, I just want to say right now that there's no harsh judgment. I want instead, this is a tip right away, is one of the quickest ways that we can return to our power is by having a sense of compassion and self-love and appreciation for our humanity. So just right up front, I really want to hold the space that I'm not here lashing the whip at y'all. Not at all. We all do it from time to time. It's just part of our conditioning as human beings. And as we're all on this path of evolution and really taking ourselves to higher levels, then, you know, we can spend less and less time in the victim energy and more time in this taking responsibility energy. And really, the antithesis of being a victim is taking responsibility. So I'm going to say a little bit about taking responsibility, which is really the core of what this call is about, taking responsibility for that power connection. And this word responsibility, I don't know how it is for all of you, but I think of that word that it's not necessarily a super sexy word. It may be more associated with work or heaviness, maybe even something that we resist. And we'll see later in the call how we do resist responsibility and why we do that. But what if we could really embrace responsibility as a super cool, even hip thing, right? And that to really connect that as we take responsibility for this power connection, that our life will be, we will unfold more naturally, there'll be a more effortless flow of expression, and it'll be second nature to respond to our spirit. And I like to think of taking responsibility, responsibility being responding to spirit, and spirit being that higher self, that guiding force, that maybe God energy. Another way to describe that connection, another way of describing what it is to be plugged in. So a great quote here by Sigmund Freud, most people don't really want freedom because freedom involves responsibility, and most people are frightened of responsibility. Interesting quote. And here's another part of a quote from one of my all-time favorites by Marianne Williamson. Some of you have heard this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. And this goes on, but these first words, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate, but rather that we are powerful beyond measure. So if there's any inner resistance to owning your full power, you're in good company, there's plenty of other people that are falling in the same boat, but because you're here and participating in Momentum Mastery and the kind of person that would be a part of this call here today or listening to this as an MP3 or a CD really tells me that there's another something special about you that is about going beyond what other people do and ultimately finding a way to really own your power on a consistent basis. So that's where we're going to be going here. And also, as we're going through and getting into here in a minute, I want to do a brainstorming around, you know, what really are we responsible for? So what really are we responsible for? If responsibility is really one of the keys to owning our power, now granted there's some things that we aren't responsible for, right? Or we're not responsible for, you know, for the weather or for traffic or even some of the things on a more global scale like taxes and government. I mean, granted, people are going into doing that, but as a one individual person, we might say, well, maybe that's not exactly my responsibility, you know, unless you happen to be in politics or in charge of a certain, if that's part of one of your missions or purposes in life. So as we're going through these areas that we're responsible for in your brainstorming, you know, what really are our responsibilities? I want to look at this through the lens of Japan. So we all know that, you know, one of the world's worst earthquakes occurred in Japan and has had devastating impact, has taken lives. But it may be easy for us to, especially if you live in Japan, to go into victim mode, right? It's like, well, you certainly can't control the weather. Nobody can blame, you can't even blame the government for an earthquake. It's Mother Nature. To talk about the thing most outside of our control, and if there's, you know, maybe we can blame God for that, right? But if here we take one of the most devastating situations, one of the most devastating situations that's occurring, how can the people of Japan avoid feeling like a victim and remain connected to their power during this time. So, in other words, what things can they be taking responsibility for since the weather and nuclear explosions and all of this aren't really within their, you know, control per se? So let me open up the lines here. Looks like we have a great group. And for those of you that are here on the main line, so let's just do some brainstorming. So what are we responsible for?
I'm Mary, it's Louise.
Hey, Louise.
Hey. I think what we're responsible for is to not, well, certainly even with the people of Japan, not to be looking for a place to lay blame. Because I think, you know, when we're in pain, it's easy to lash out. I know looking at, if you look at Hurricane Katrina and all the devastation that happened there, after the fact, there was a lot of blame placed at people's doors about response and, you know, all of these different things. Where, mm-hmm. you know, if we can just look at it from the point of view that people are doing the best that they can in the moment to really support and do what they can, that it's easy to let go of that sense of victimhood that allows you to then step into stepping forward. Looking forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if we're not blaming, what are we doing instead?
Taking responsibility.
Taking responsibility, yeah.
And this is Cindy, you're responsible for your response, for your reaction, for your thoughts.
Exactly.
There was a village, I guess, close by the ocean in Japan that they thought that everybody in it died or they were missing, and I think there was like almost 10,000 people in this village, and they were all found safe because as soon as the earthquake happened, the city evacuated to higher ground because, you know, that to me was like amazing. I mean, they took responsibility in the midst of a huge earthquake, knowing that a tsunami could come, and saved, you know, thousands of lives.
Wow, wow. So this is so perfect. So you're pointing to two of probably the biggest things that we really get to take responsibility for. One is our own reactions, right? So this is if here's a great example. They heard about certain news and decided to react in a way. Great, we're going to clear the town, we're going to go to higher ground, we're going to set ourselves up here. And we might even say that they were owning their reaction. We might even call that just, it was a powerful choice, action, decision, right? Because at the end of the day, we are responsible for our choices, our actions, our decisions. They could have just, we'll just hang out here. Maybe it won't be so bad. But no, they really made some powerful choices based on whatever information they had. And one of the things that happens, right, sometimes when we get into blame mode, I don't know how many people here have significant other relationships, and sometimes we can find ourselves in emotional distress over something that somebody has said or done or not done, and we get upset at our significant others. And we can get into the blame mode, which, yeah, I go there too on occasions. And instead of blaming and assuming our internal state had something to do, is 100% correlated with their activity, we take responsibility for our own reaction, right? We look and see, well, what stressful thought am I believing that is having me feel this way, and do I really want to investigate that thought and make sure it's grounded in reality instead of just staying in that blame mode?
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
When I was years ago, whenever I was really per se in victim mode, I came across this quote, and it was basically saying the same thing you're saying from Eleanor Roosevelt. or one can make you feel inferior without permission. Because regardless what somebody says or does to us, somewhere in our head, we're giving them permission to make us feel bad about ourselves.
Love that quote. Beautiful. So let's look. So what other areas are we really responsible for?
Areas of Gail.
Mm-hmm.
This may relate to what we've already been talking about, but one area that we're responsible is in the interpretation of events or thoughts. That is kind of a reaction or a response as well, but it's like the meaning that we add to things, to the core reality, then we sometimes add or take stuff away, which is like our interpretation, and we're responsible for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that you're pointing to that. Absolutely. Because we're often the ones putting together the meanings and the interpretation of the situation, and we have to take responsibility for that. Are we putting a positive spin on this? Are we putting a negative spin on this?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Mary, this is Louise again.
Mm-hmm. Louise.
Just, I think it kind of all ties into the responsibility of choice, choice of our thoughts, choice of our actions, you know, whether we decide to react or be proactive in the way that we respond to the instance. It's all about choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can continue to check in that place of choice. Are you the one doing the choosing in your life? Or are these choices happening externally? Right? You know, and one of my favorite quotes is, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
Yeah, everything is a choice.
Everything really is a choice. Mm-hmm. Right? So, wow. Good. So what other ones? What else are we responsible for? Okay, we'll go Michael and then Louise.
Hi. All right. One of the areas that I think we're responsible for is to take chances.
Yeah, say more about that.
Well,
like take chances towards our dreams?
Take chances towards dreams, take chances towards achieving things. There's a statistic I learned a couple of years ago, and which was that 80% of all people fail. Not because they actually failed to succeed, but that they failed to try.
Right.
They didn't try in the first place.
Exactly.
And out of the remaining 20%, 80% failed.
Simply because they don't get started.
Well, that was the first 80%. The second 80%, which is out of the remaining 20%, failed, not realizing how close they were to succeeding when they decided to give up.
Oh, that's so right. Right. There's a great story of the farmer who was digging for gold on his property. It was digging and digging and digging and digging. And then finally, after years and months at laboring here, he got a buyer and sold the plot of land. And the new buyer of the land dug about 3 more feet and struck gold. So that's exactly what you're talking to here. And I couldn't agree more. I really believe that, and I'll say kind of two key things here is taking chances, pursuing our dreams. So this is all in the big, our dreams. Our dreams are our responsibility. No one else is going to do them for us. Great quote by Napoleon Hill. Man alone has the power to transform his thoughts into physical reality. Man alone can dream and make his dreams come true. That's by Napoleon Hill. So animals, dogs, cats, lions, tigers, not exactly playing in the same domain as human beings in terms of responsibility for their dreams, unless you're watching The Lion King or something, right? But our dreams are a big one. You know, are we clear about what they are, how clear they are, taking action, taking those risks, you know, looking and seeing what resources are available to us, showing up in a way that will help us realize those goals. So really good, really good. And another key area, and this comes out of my book, The Power of Inner Choice, lesson number 10, one of the other key areas I like to talk about is our fulfillment. And I think this correlates beautifully with what Michael shared, that you know, taking chances to take those steps to move closer and closer to our fulfillment. So if we're not fulfilled at the deepest level, are we willing to take a chance, take the next step, to get curious, to do something to help us be more fulfilled? Really nice. And who else? Who else would, what else are we responsible for?
This is Catherine, Mary.
Yeah, Catherine.
And I was struck by that last comment, and I just want to make a comment on it.
Because, yeah.
When 9/11 happened that day, I made such a decision, a risk, just like I think it was Michael was saying, because I made that decision on that day that I needed to be happy. You know, I was in a marriage that was well past the expiration point, and I was not doing well at all. It was just kind of existing day to day. And I remember just clearly when that morning that happened, I just had it just drop into me. And in that 10 years since, or nearly 10 years, you know, I moved to a different state, started my life completely over. But it was that tragedy that kicked me in the ass enough to, you know, look in the mirror and say, look, you know, if I'm not happy, I have to do something about it. So I just wanted to pass that into the mix.
Mm-hmm. And not only changed careers, moved states, met your soulmate. And now
Absolutely.
Teach other people how to find their soulmates.
I know. I know. And I was, like, taking 3 antidepressants, and I, you know, couldn't get off the couch, and I was just lost. But it was, I needed to let go of what I thought was my best, mm-hmm. you know. And it was, I did not see that it could be possible to have life outside of that 30-year marriage, you know. So you're right. I mean, that is. But I just think that I tell people that they say, well, what made you move? What made you change? I said, it was that terrible, terrible day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I respect people who see stuff like this and think, wait a second, you know, our life could be ended just like that. What are you doing and what do you want? You know, so
okay, exactly.
Thank you, Michael, for bringing that up.
And thank you, Catherine. That was a beautiful addition. Beautiful. You know, and again, it's a choice around fulfillment, a choice of allowing something to be a catalyst for a deeper expression. Well, and Catherine, yours also points to another one, and that is really taking responsibilities and meeting your needs.
Mm.
Many of us look outside of ourselves to get our wants and needs met, whether it's through a spouse or a job or friends, and then when they don't live into the fantasy of who we want them to be, well, then it's literally our electrical cord gets yanked out of the wall socket, and we run around literally like a chicken with our head cut off, right? This is what we're like without power. And if we look at what's happening in Japan, at this village that Cindy spoke of, you know, they met their needs. They weren't looking externally to be taken care of, you know, trusting that God's going to take care of them in this case. They said, wow, there might be a good chance our city could get swept away, so let's hightail it. Let's do that. They were really taking, you know, meeting their own needs instead of relying somewhere else to get those needs or wants met. And to tie in one of the other points from The Power of Inner Choice is your consciousness. So we might say Japan's level of consciousness, they were very present to their daily lives, very present to the realities of certain faults and what could potentially happen. And because of that higher level of consciousness, did take added steps, precautions, and were clear on what to do if they got struck in this kind of way. And in the same way, we have responsibility for our own level of consciousness. Really checking in, how present are you to your own daily life? What are you giving attention to? Are you working consciously to raise that level of awareness? Are there places where more comfortable to put head in the sand and neglect it? So our consciousness really is something we can take responsibility for, and over time through daily practices, through actions to allow ourselves to drop into awareness, to even to take good care of our bodies, meditate, all of these things can really contribute positively to our own level of consciousness and thus make it easier for us to take responsibility for other areas of our lives.
Hey, Mary, this is Gail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this thought during our conversation here. Sometimes the conversation for responsibility tends to, there's the possibility that it could lead towards like a moral conversation, like being responsible is good and being irresponsible is bad. And I'm just present to that there's an interpretation of responsibility as like it allows your life to work. Mm-hmm. You know, not like it's good or bad, not like meditating or not meditating or being prepared or not being prepared or being literate or illiterate is the right or best way to do. But just look, how is your responses, your choices, your awareness, all of that, how does it impact how your life is working?
Exactly.
And I just wanted to bring that to, it's always helpful for me to bring that back to my attention, my own attention, so that I don't go down that morality path.
Exactly, because as soon as we start going down that path, we're in this mode of judgment, right, wrong, good, bad, and it's actually a fast path to disconnect from our power. There's nothing useful if we're just literally beating ourselves over the head with a hammer of guilt and, oh, well, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, and someone says, you know, I should. It's we've now fallen into a trap. And I like how you phrased it more. All of these are just an opportunity to look and to notice. This call is really about raising awareness and seeing if we can create a different a relationship with responsibility and one where there is also spaciousness, not something that's dogmatic as this, you know, right, wrong. And even everything that we're talking about here, I invite everybody to try and for yourself. Oh, are you really responsible for your choices and actions and decisions? Sit with that. And that kind of leads to one of the really super big categories that I've already alluded to, and that is our self-treatment, our relationship with ourselves. How do you treat you? How are you kind to you or tough on you, encouraging of you? And since many human beings are harsher on themselves than they are with others, we might just notice what is the result of being harsh on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. We got a nose blowing to confirm that's exactly what it's like, right? Like a balloon that gets deflated. We'll work with whatever we have here on the line. Right? But really check in. I mean, how, when you're not taking great care of yourself, how easy is it to stay plugged into your sense of power? Easy or hard?
Hard.
Hard, right.
So yeah, it's hard, and even if you have an illness or something with it, and I know you know this, Mary, I mean, that's what happened to me last year, is after I had my surgery and I couldn't walk, I went into a dark place there for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was because I couldn't, well, I made excuses. Wayne Dyer would say, I made excuses to why I could not do this.
Right, right.
I've been reading Excuses Be Gone.
Ah, yes, love that book and love that PBS special by Wayne Dyer.
That just went along with, I mean, even if you're trying to recover, the best thing that you could do is to love yourself and do what you can do, other than feeling sorry for yourself for what you're unable to do.
Right, exactly. So let's do this. Louise, was there one more that you were going to chime in with?
I think, well, there are two. One was the... regarding thought, which is about making assumptions, that we can take responsibility not to make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is that we have a responsibility to step out into the world and share our gifts and talents with the world.
Yes.
I mean, that's my mission. So.
Yes.
My mission to support people in doing that. And so I really just so believe that it's our responsibility to do that.
Beautiful, beautiful, and I would agree that if perhaps at some level there is a maybe even a moral obligation to leave the planet a little bit better off than when we landed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me share that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so let's look at. If it seems to make sense to take responsibility for our power, then if we look and see why is it so easy to resist our power, right, and get stuck and get into procrastination mode and get comfortably uncomfortable. But let's look for a minute about the huge payoffs that we get for not taking responsibility. And it may almost seem, how can there be benefits to being a victim? But if we look at Nathaniel Brandon's book called Taking Responsibility, or if you look on page 260 in The Power of Inner Choice, you'll see a variety of statements that are literally benefits to not taking responsibility. So let me just read a few of these, and you can sit in your own life and look in that inquiry, what benefits do I have by remaining a victim? What benefits do I have by remaining a victim and not owning my power? So kind of hang with that, and I'll give you some examples of some benefits. If I took full responsibility, then I'd have to face my fears, right? The old way is comfortable. So here's another statement that I would get to avoid by remaining a victim. Well, I'd have to work harder, or I'd have to say no more often. If I was taking responsibility for my life, then I couldn't avoid facing my problems. Or maybe I'd see just how out of control I am and have to accept a part of my humanity in some way. Maybe if I take responsibility, people will expect more from me. Oh no. Or, here's a big one, others may judge me. I don't know how many people have that one, of being judged for owning your power and your brilliance and your magnificence. Who are you to own your power? Other people might judge. Or in the relationship department, I might have to accept people for being who they are. Instead of being in the business of trying to change them and getting them to do this and to do that, if I really take responsibility, I noticed one of the things that didn't come up on the list of what we're responsible for is other people's reactions, other people being who they are. So we may influence our children and our significant others and so forth, but that's our choices, that's our giving our gifts in the world that may inspire them. But ultimately, if we're going to avoid being a victim, then I have to accept people for being who they are. And maybe I'd have to have a much higher mental focus. So those are some examples. There's more on page 260 in Power of Inner Choice. Let me just check in because we've got a brilliant set of minds here on the line. Any other benefits that you found, benefits or payoffs by remaining in victim mode?
That nothing changes.
Mm.
Back in a bad marriage, you know what to expect, so you don't want to face the change of being alone, so you stay in a bad relationship.
Right, right. So the fact that you might be alone, yep, that's a big one, or not knowing what's going to happen to your marriage. If you take full responsibility, others might not like it if you totally take responsibility. And Catherine pointed to, when she took responsibility for her own happiness, that meant relationship over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a similar experience to her. So, yeah, it's just where it just was it after a 20-year marriage. So I totally understood what she was talking about. But I know that I stayed in that marriage for fear of change, for fear of the unknown, or for fear of not knowing what would happen without him. I was just used to him. I was uncomfortably comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And two big ones, fear of change, fear of the unknown.
And this is Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that comes to mind for me is sometimes seems like there's a whole lot of support and agreement for victim mode. Like you're giving up all the support and agreement.
Yeah, right. And isn't it true? We even can connect in our victimhood, right? So what connections am I going to lose if I'm not agreeing to be a victim?
Exactly.
Or connecting with my friend who feels like a victim, and we get to both be victim together, and we get to console each other and talk about how, you know, horrible our significant others are, and right? We may lose
yeah.
that connection.
Yeah. And it may really occur like, oh, if I step into my power, I'm going to lose connection. It may look like the opposite of what we're going for
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, initial stages. So.
Right.
This is Catherine again. I want to say about this thing, too, like when you do start just making a decision that, like, for example, no more gossip, that happened for me a few years ago, but you do lose friends because there are groups, that's what they do. And at first they notice you're not saying anything, and then they start not to ask you into their group because you don't say anything. But that's scary. I mean, it feels like abandonment. And I think, especially in my business, you know, with the women I deal with, you know, just to hang on to the very real fact that nature abhors a vacuum, and as you change your vibration of who you are, you're going to appeal to new people. So it looks like a loss, but it's not really, because you want to surround yourself with people that really uphold what it is that you want to uphold. And I think you're exactly right, Mary. It's like when people get together and start saying how bad things are, and you just are on that slippery slope quicker than a bunny, you know, so...
Right.
It is scary. It feels like abandonment. It's not. It's a different feeling. But when people just kind of stop calling or stop coming around, I have to remind myself, look, they are who they are. That's cool. I am who I am, and I'm ready to attract some new people who can, you know, resonate with me in this positive vibe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And foster that greater sense of power.
Yes.
It's as fun as it can be to gossip at times, we want to really look at what is the impact on our own connection and our own place of power. Excellent, excellent point. Well, so let's shift gears and talk a little bit here about simple strategies for taking responsibility and owning your power more fully. So let's we're going to buzz through some of the key things that we can do here. And you know what? Let's do it this way. I'm going to do the first one, but I want to pull from you. There are actually 11 different things that are stated in the book, The Power of Inner Choice, in lesson number 10. And I'm going to share the first one, but then I want to look to you and say, you know, what really can we do to take responsibility and own our power more fully? And one of the top ones I've got here on the list is something called humility. And humility looks like if we can step into our own humanity and say, you know, maybe they are right, or they are right, that can, and just finding even 1% of truth in what the person that we're having an argument with across the table is saying, and find kind of that one element of truth by stepping into this beautiful thing called humility. So that's certainly one example. Who else would add to this? Other simple strategies for taking responsibility and owning your power.
One of my favorite tricks is to agree as much as I can, and especially in my relationships. Whenever I can agree, especially if it's something I don't really care about that much, like, you know, aren't the Chargers great? Aren't they playing great? Yes, yes, I agree. Because I create this kind of flavor of agreement in my being that makes the bigger decisions easier. It sounds a little trite, but it really does help me to feel agreeable.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. And I believe there's actually a movie called Yes Man, which
oh,
is...
Oh, I just watched that two times this week.
Did you really?
Oh, my God. If you haven't, anybody on the call hasn't seen it, you got to see it. Jim Carrey. Oh, yeah, I watched it two times. I loved it. So, yeah.
Which is really the exaggerated version of what you're talking about. It's just really saying yes to everything. It's like, yes,
but
okay.
But it had a consequence, which I love. But, no, it's just really just being agreeable in spirit. You know, it's like instead of just quick saying, oh, no, that won't work. Or, you know, it's just small, tiny little nuances of being agreeable.
Love it. Love it. What's another one? How can we take responsibility and own our power more fully?
By forgiving ourselves and forgiving other people.
Oh, yes. That's a big one, isn't it? When we look at hanging on to the past, whether it's a mistake we made or something that our significant other did, we've got all this energy tied up in somewhere in the past, and that energy is not free here in the present moment. So when we forgive, in essence, we're really freeing up that energy so there's more power, more energy flowing. Excellent.
We would say choosing and aligning with our own value and worthiness.
Oh, love that. Love that, love that. So when we are in alignment with our sense of worthiness and value, and acknowledging that, like really, we get to go back with what Louise was saying. You can see how that is vitamins and nutrition for giving our gifts to the world. It's absolutely a huge, huge piece. Love that. What else?
This is Louise Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing from that, it's really about just being completely authentic, being able to own our own authenticity and tap into that.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So authenticity is totally huge. And in that spirit, maybe part of authenticity is being clear about what you want and being able to ask for it. And authenticity might also come into play when we need to put up boundaries. Right? You know, it's like if when somebody asks, will you do something or not do something? Of course, if you're Catherine, you're going to say yes and be agreeable. Just teasing. However, maybe what's authentic to you is no. Right? And so part of, you know, one of the strategies for taking responsibility is being willing to say no, being willing to put up a boundary when necessary, being willing to put what is really your most authentic you. Love it.
It's honoring the truth of who we are, isn't it, Mary?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to play roles.
Right.
We are truly ourselves.
Love it. Really coming back to that. And that ties right on back with what Gail was saying, really owning your value, owning your worthiness, owning, you know, so that you can be authentic. That is more than enough. Who cares if people will judge or whatever else? People will anyway. That's totally fine. But their judgment has nothing to do with how connected you are to your power. Unless you give that power away. Michael.
Is Michael?
Yeah.
Yep. Just to build on that, I believe that it really makes a difference when you realize that everyone here on this call and everyone that you meet every day of your life, every interaction that you have with anybody else, every one of us is perfect.
Mm.
And that at any given moment, that person or you could not possibly be any other way, because you are the accumulation of everything that you know, every experience you've ever had, every interaction you've ever experienced, every feeling you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't be any different in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have the power to choose who we want to be tomorrow.
Mhm. Mhm. I love that. And as we really stand in the energy of everyone is perfect, you know, there's sort of this radiating out a certain sense of unconditional love for wherever we are, whatever stage of the journey. And if we say that everyone, seeing everyone is perfect, of course, that includes ourselves, right? The perfection of exactly where we are right now.
You couldn't be any other way.
Impossible. Maybe next moment, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Love that as a perspective to really take responsibility. Great place to come from, a place of acceptance. And I love to ask the question, are you coming from love? Kind of dovetails into that statement. Are you coming from love? And I was in a conversation with my beloved husband just in the last week, and something had pushed my buttons, and somewhere in the middle of that conversation, I stepped into that question of, are you coming from love? And all of a sudden, the tone of my voice completely shifted. Because so often it's not the words that we're sharing, it's how we're communicating it and the energy in which we're communicating it. We could go back and be communicating from the blame perspective, which was clearly what I was doing. Sorry, John. But as soon as I took responsibility for my communication and coming from love, completely transformed our conversation. So great little question to keep in mind.
Mira, this is Gail. I'll just say that one's working for me this week. Thank you.
Good. Good, good, good. It's a great, great one to come back to. And the cool thing is that we can take any one of these principles or any of the other ones outlined in The Power of Inner Choice, and any one principle, if we just dance with that one principle day in, day out, and really integrate it throughout our lives, that can be enough to keep that power connection alive. Right? We can really see if Gail's really owning that one, that, boy, what kind of ripple effect will that have? So a couple other key ones to mention, and then I want to spend the last little bit of time here talking about patterns, because this is a super big one, and I want to kick this off because this is the homework assignment for the week. But a couple other strategies for taking responsibility. Certainly, we could say responsible action. If something has been neglected, ignored, if there was a mistake made, great, take an action and attend to it. Now, when we have tolerations in our life, something we've talked about quite a lot in Momentum Mastery, handling tolerations, you know, taking responsible action ends up freeing up energy, and that energy that's available for our connection to source, our connection to our higher power. And another simple strategy kind of goes along with authenticity, and that's listening for spirit's guidance. Like really continually to come back and listen, you know, what is my spirit's guidance right now? Are we looking for it? Are we listening for it? Are we responding to it? Remember our responsibility, responding to spirit. So a great way that we can reconnect to our power, really reconnecting to that guiding force within us. And two other things that we talked about in our last call is inquiry, Byron Katie's process of inquiry, 4 questions and a turnaround, another fabulous way that we can take responsibility, particularly for those stressful thoughts that are jumping up there. So let's look at patterns. This is something, those of you that are going to be at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, we actually spend a good chunk of time at the seminar really looking at this and diving in detail to at least one pattern that you've been running consistently in your life that isn't really giving you the kind of outcome that you want. That it somehow gives you maybe there's a strong reaction, maybe it's a pattern that of procrastination and you're not really living into your potential. Maybe it's a pattern of lack of self-care. So it really could be around anything. Maybe it's an emotional pattern that you get caught up in overwhelm. But the key that we're looking at here is looking at, we're going to really break down the pattern in terms of starting from a place of connection. So with any pattern that we want to evaluate, we want to start with that you're connected. Your plug is plugged into the wall. The vacuum cleaner has power, right? So you're going along everyday life, things are good, and then something happens that maybe it's a significant other says something to you. Maybe somebody doesn't return a phone call, or you haven't heard from your loved one in a few days. Maybe it's a pattern of self-judgment that comes over and beats you over the head. Something happens that then throws you into a place of disconnection. You get to experience all the great aftermath of what happens in a place of disconnection. What happens when your plug is not plugged into the wall socket? What kind of things do you say to your significant other? what kind of action do you take towards your business or goals? What kind of food do you put on your body? How do you move your body or exercise or not exercise? How do you approach life from that place of disconnection? So you want to kind of map out that part of the pattern. And then ultimately, here's what's happening in your life. Something happens that, and often it's unconsciously, and we suddenly find ourselves feeling, quote-unquote, normal again. Our sanity has returned. Maybe that loved one actually calls and says a certain number of words to us, and that feels good. Maybe we read an inspiring book. Maybe we just get a good night's sleep. I mean, who knows what could happen to reconnect the pattern, but we want to really deliberately look at how we're connected, how we get disconnected, and then what really returns us back to that place of power. So let me give you an example of a couple patterns here. These are my own patterns. So here's the pattern I'm not so proud of, but I've run this one. So things are basically fine, step one. Then I start to feel separate somehow, some way. And I want to reconnect and look to my significant other to find it. This is very particularly true in a significant other relationship. But honestly, I still run this pattern on occasion with John. I'm just way more aware of it when I do. So I either ask for what I want or don't ask for what I want. Typically, I probably wouldn't ask. Next step in the pattern is I hear some kind of no or perceived resistance. So that's my trigger. If I'm looking to, whether it's an old boyfriend or I look to John for emotional empathy or wanting a certain kind of feedback and I'm not getting it, what does that do? That drives me deeper into a place of separation. So then, here's the next part of my pattern. I don't think I can ever have what I want. Great thought. I begin to get more upset, sad, angry. There's my emotional reaction. In the past, then what I would do is I would write a lengthy email to express myself. That was my ego's response. I would push that person away. That would be the result I got. Then somewhere I would take responsibility for my action. I would come back. One of the things we didn't talk about was making amends or apologizing. Apologizing for our reaction is actually a quick way to take responsibility. So take responsibility for my action, reach out, I humbly apologize, we reconnect again, and then things are fine. Right? So you can see kind of step by step going through, things are fine, I feel separate, what are my triggers, and then ultimately what's my path back to connection. Let me give you one more example. I'm excited about life. That's code for I'm feeling connected. I set clear goals, also connected. I take inspired action, still connected. I get busy. That might be the reality of the situation, or what happens when you just get you get addicted to taking action. Then I go on autopilot, and that's a nice way to say that I go unconscious. So I continue to go and go. But at this point, I'm no longer connected to my power because I've just gone unconscious. Then I begin to believe that I can't get it all done. I don't know if anyone else has had that stressful thought. I've had it just a few times. Then I get stressed and overwhelmed. That's my reaction. Then what happens? I eventually stop. Here's my point of taking responsibility. I create space for myself. I reconnect with myself. Maybe I'll go to the gym. Maybe I'll take a nap. Maybe I'll go for a walk. Read something in an inspiring book. Somehow reconnect to myself. Then I reprioritize and focus. Another way to take responsibility. I set new goals, really listening to my own spirit's guidance, and I'm back to being excited about life and my goals. All right, so here's another example of patterns, how we can just take it and break it down step by step by step. So let me just run through what the assignment is. The assignment is to look at your biggest debilitating pattern. And the first thing we want to do is really name the pattern. It's all about awareness, honesty, what's really going on, and trying to break it down piece by piece. And you could do it to a very, very specific situation, but what we're really going for here is not necessarily the one pattern you ran last Tuesday with Joe at the cafe about the dog. It's much more about if you can find what's the common pattern being somehow I'm connected, something leads to disconnection, and then eventually we all find our way back to connection somehow, maybe in stronger forms, lesser forms, but whatever your base level of connection to your power is. So step one is really looking at the pattern. Step two is looking at the triggers, seeing really what that is. What triggers? Is it the same regardless of what person? Maybe when you get in certain large groups? Is it when you're not well rested, hungry or tired? When your energy is low? That can be a huge trigger. But really to just start to pay attention to kind of the bigger pattern. Then step three is we want to ultimately, so we've named the pattern, we're clear of the trigger, now we want to interrupt that pattern. And there's lots of things that we can do to interrupt the pattern, and really we can look at any juncture, where can I shake things up? So let's say the moment I notice a place of disconnection, one thing I could do is do something physical. Maybe I do 20 jumping jacks or drink a glass of water, right? Something physical to kind of get myself back. Maybe I go take an inner peace time out. Maybe I go write in my journal. That can be very connecting for people. So really look at what you can do differently at the different choice points along the way. Step number four is then really coming back and taking responsibility for the pattern. So now if we're looking at what this pattern is ultimately costing you, how is it impacting your relationship to not have your plug connected to electricity in the wall socket? What's it costing you? What else do you notice about that pattern? Now, our level of consciousness and presence and awareness is a great way to take responsibility. Let's get really aware. In this place of awareness, we can begin to transform it. And then the big question is really, as we're looking at taking responsibility for our pattern, getting leverage on ourselves, how are we really willing to take responsibility? And I will say, at least my experience is, when we're in a disconnected place, it can be really difficult to find that place of humility. It can be more challenging to take a different action that's not habitual. And yet, if we come back to these original principles that, hey, we're always at choice, it's like, you know, give it a try. Maybe in the middle of an argument, you start laughing, not at your partner, but at yourself for just getting disconnected. So that's actually one way I've interrupted my pattern, is in a moment of, you know, speaking to John in a not-so-nice way. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're being ridiculous. And, I can start laughing inside at myself for being that way. And, of course, if I shift that back to a place of love, hopefully John hasn't bought my disconnection and gone into his pattern of disconnection. Okay, so step four, taking responsibility for the pattern, and then step five is really creating a new pattern. if you've created enough pain for yourself, you've run a pattern over and over and over again, you're not liking the results, it doesn't feel good, and it's impeding your flow, great, let's create a new one. Let's embrace conscious choice and set a new pattern. And this here with a quote from Joan Didion, character, the willingness to accept responsibility for one's own life is the source from which self-respect springs. So I will be posting notes in the forum. And I really want to invite everyone. Everyone here should have a copy of The Power of Inner Choice, whether it's an ebook format or a hard copy. I believe anyone that has access to the forum has also gotten a version of The Power of Inner Choice. Go to lesson number 10, go to the back, and walk yourself through these five steps, naming the pattern, triggers, pattern interrupts, taking responsibility, setting a new pattern. This truly is one of the more powerful things that you can do to up the ante in your own inner peace. So have fun playing with this one. Let's just wrap up the call here, as we like to do, and check in with our live listening audience about what you're taking of value from today's call. What are you taking of value from today's call?
Gail.
Yes, Gail.
Really appreciated the conversation about the seeming benefits of not being responsible.
Mm.
That pointed out a lot of places where I was not responsible. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for being willing to look there.
This is Catherine,
mm-hmm.
And as you were talking about you and John, I just had to laugh. I thought, have you been following me around, Mary? Anyway, but I remember the thing about agreeing, and one time Larry and I spar sometimes, you know, just fun. We'll just spar back and forth over some dingy issue, and kind of fun and energizing, but I had remembered I had this agreement thing, so I just stopped, right? It just dawned on me, and I just stopped and agreed with him. And I'm telling you, the change that came, I was amazing. I didn't tell him what I was doing. You know, I just changed my attitude. So I wanted to reflect and support what you said about how much control we have over
exactly.
The energy of the conversation.
Exactly.
And so I'm just re-inspired to look at that agreement factor, because it is so easy to do if I set my mind to it. So I really am glad for the reminder.
Exactly. A moment of willingness, 1 second later, can shift the entire conversation. Different conversation, in power, out of power. Who else? What are you taking of value from today's call? Yes, Michael.
All right. Sometimes when we're interacting with other people and we think that, you know, we're having difficulty relating with this person, it's not always... We don't always think it's possible to change the other person. I mean, after all, ultimately, we only have control over ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But is that really true?
Mm. That
when you change how you see things and you start acting differently, people will naturally have to adapt to the new way you're interacting with people.
Exactly. And that's absolutely true, that 9 times out of 10, they do shift as you shift, as everybody is a reflection of what our current state of connection is at any given time. And still at the end of the day, other people can be disconnected from their power and sometimes not be willing to get reconnected. Maybe one of the biggest tests of all time. Can you stay connected in your power even when your partner, loved one, whoever it is that you're interacting with at the time, can you be connected even if they're not connected? And I know many of you who are coaches, that's often what our practice is to remain connected even if they're not. But it's a fun practice to practice even in your own life. nothing is sweeter than holding a space and just allowing somebody else's humanity to come through.
And it really is like a practice. And like any practice, the more you practice, the better you get at it and the easier it becomes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Mary, this is Louise.
Yes, Louise.
I think the reminder of the patterns that we just kind of unconsciously click into when you were talking about John and your reactions in certain situations, it reminded me of how I sometimes respond to Clive and how I think we both have these unwritten agreements of how we dance around each other in certain moments. You know, we both get triggered, and it's just really wonderful to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. Truly is. I know these days that when most of the time when I go into a place and I start noticing my voice shifting or feeling a little bit more irritable, instead of looking to John as a place to blame or whatever external circumstances, I come back and look, how am I not connected right now? And what can I do to reestablish that connection? Because irritability is at the core of it, it's a connection problem. We're not connected to source. We're not connected to our energy system. And we can shift that in a moment as we're aware of it. So should be a fun week this week for all of your partners, because you've got a whole lot more fresh tools here at your fingertips. So have fun with this connection to your own power and play and experiment. And I would love to see those of you that are willing to share your patterns in the forum. Be fabulous. I'll be posting notes here shortly. Thank you, everyone, for your time and attention, all of those that you were willing to share, and even those of you that were in our listening audience. Appreciate just sharing this energy of the key to owning our power. And I will look forward to connecting with you all next month for the next Momentum Mastery Call. And until then, we'll see you in the forum. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Mary. Bye.
Thanks, Mary. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.